Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Full Chemistry. I'm Frankie Ward. We've got FG to my left, and to my far left, we have the man, the myth, the legend, the brilliant coach that is Renzo.
What an introduction.
Thank you for joining us.
What an introduction, rightly so.
That you have come to us on the plane and yet you just look flawless. I'm loving this getup.
Thank you.
We came like monochrome today.
Right. Talk us through the dress sense here, right? Because we don't get the memo that you've got to dress like a superstar, right? And you've come in here, you've taken one flight and you already look. Talk me through the drip. You're looking fresh.
I mean, it's just casual, you know? It's just casual.
That's Renzo's version of casual. And having worked now with Renzo for a couple of events, I can confirm this is his casual look. And it's classy. We've just seen you commentating on the Capiani Divisi final. So congratulations. Great seeing you teamed up with our very own Brandon Smith. How on earth have you recovered from that insane grand final? Because the four players playing for Ajax and PSV were insane, and three of them you look after on Team Hullet.
Recovering from that final was easy because it's still Levy that won, but I felt so sorry for Manu in the end, because especially, I mean, everybody who's an EAFC Pro fan knew about his story this season thus far. It wasn't the best, and also for him, like, I'm not judging his season right now because I think he's still doing well. But the pressure that he had, and even what he said himself, that he even said at one point during, I think, match day 5 or something in the Eredivisie, he said, like, he's not even one of the better Dutch players now because he was losing games in Eredivisie. And it just really put down his confidence. So when he put that game 2 performance up there, and if the whistle would have blown earlier, he would have won them the championship. So it was a bit hard, but the gameplay that we saw there during those 3 games, I mean, you're not really going to get any higher quality. And I think not even a much tenser game, because I was literally on the front of my chair.
Do you think enough respect is shown to the Eredivisie? Because the quality that we see, the advert for esports as a whole, when you're watching, especially the latter stages of that tournament, it's just incredible. And you are genuinely looking at 4 of the best players in the world.
Yeah, I mean, we literally just talked before the show and we said, yeah, this could arguably be the top 4 at the World Championship as well. Obviously, we're still missing out great players, but it's an actual thing that could happen because they're all going to be playing at the World Cup as well. And then still you had a couple of players that didn't make the final, but it was in the semi or in the quarterfinal. There was Talha, who is a player in the Dutch national squad right now as well. Brent, who was, I think he had like, what, 41 points out of the 16 games in the regular season, because he even missed out on one. And you had Gio, who made incredible comebacks. People don't even look at them in their competition. Now they're all about these top 4, which rightfully so, but it just explains the level that the Eredivisie has right now.
Do you think the teams in the Eredivisie prepare a lot better than potentially other organisations around the world? I mean, I think a lot of people can use it as an example. There's a lot of great esports, but especially the work that Hullet does is just incredible. Like the stuff you do in the forward thinking, you mentioned they've got multiple coaches. Imagine that. Multiple coaches, not just one.
And there's also 4 group stages. Well, the group stage is split into 4, mm-hmm. right? So it actually started last year.
There's a couple of organizations that have been running for quite some time in the Netherlands right now that, they've collaborated with some clubs right now. And Ajax, for example, they just do it their own way. Ajax Esports is a great company as well, or like a great organization if you treat it like Manchester City do.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then you have Team Gullit, and then you have Bundled, who use, like, they have kind of stepped away from being an esports team themselves, but they do set up their players at clubs. They position them quite well. I'm not saying that every club does it, because then I would be lying. But then again, the ones that are at the top, they do tend to treat it so much more professionally now than, like I said, whenever I even was a player. It's just only possible if the entire esports grows as well. And that's what happened the past couple of years.
It just seems like everybody in Holland is so collaborated on this goal of treating esports how it should be treated. Esports for me is, well, we know how fast growing it is. Ajax, for example, they've been there at the top for a long time.
Yeah.
And they don't look like they're ever going to slip off. And that is solely because of the respect they give to it.
And the rivalry. I mean, we do have a rivalry kind of going with Ajax esports. Now, not an actual rivalry, but I think in the Netherlands, we just want all, like, Ajax always has this standard where they want to be the best of the Netherlands. And in esports, we're kind of swapping positions right now, ooh, I'd say so. But like, I felt like we were the best one. But then again, this season thus far, PSG has just been the most dominant player. So
he's an honorary Dutch player now. So technically, you got four Dutch players who are going to be in the Champions League in a few weeks.
I don't think the Brazilians will agree.
PA Zin is. We sat down with him, didn't we? And him and Levy. And look, right, PA Zin is an absolute amazing guy as well. I think it's mental that he's come obviously from Brazil and he's living in Holland. It feels like he felt so relaxed, didn't he, about being there, and so relieved as well.
Yeah, I mean, he threw a chair. What?
It was not relaxed.
No, sorry. Speaking to him when we were on the thing, he was relaxed.
After he wins and he's throwing his chairs, he's relaxed. But sorry, I shout out to that moment if you missed it on the Eredivisie broadcast. It's worth watching the finals because it was fantastic, but also just hang on for the celebration because PH Zin is like celebrates and he just sees this small fold up chair on the stage and he just goes,
yeah.
He doesn't throw it at anyone. There was no health and safety protocol broken. But I was like, I didn't know Pablo had that in him to go.
Oh, he's South American.
WWE.
We've seen the Comedy Bowl. We saw the passion in that. And he's brought that to Holland now.
It was a very different vibe to the Comedy Bowl Eredivisie, I have to say, the Campeón Eredivisie.
He probably felt like he had to prove something in Europe or internationally, single handedly, because I guess the E Nations people still look at, okay, Brazil wins, so it's not only him. Because we saw what he did at the Pro Open as well. He was like shaking when he did that. You see his hand, but like,
oh yeah,
it's, and you saw as well the respect that Anders gave him, like, because he always does it in one way and he doesn't get it back. But when he did get it back, it was so rightfully treated. And I love it. Like, it's a part of esports.
I think esports. As a whole, what we've seen this year, we're actually really lucky. FC24 has been a great year.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of content on the actual game, but in the esports scene, we're seeing that. We want them rivalries. Those are the rivalries we want to see. We want to see them reignited. We've got so many great events coming up. I think it's just such a great advert. And also, I mean, the grand final. Should we get to it?
We've got to get to it. Absolutely
incredible.
It was incredible. You've already mentioned that we had that crazy corner right at the end. So it's almost like, is it weird to start an extra time? Should we start at the beginning with the actual best of three series? Because this was the key thing about the format. So if you watched Premier League, we had a similar thing in the group stage with Campeón Eredivisie, which was the first and second legs that the players would take. But when it came to the final, instead of being goal aggregate, it was a best of three.
Yeah.
And it was 1-1. And then obviously we had to go to a rematch of the second game, which was a very surprising decision by Team Ajax. And given that PH Zin did suffer a resounding defeat to Manu.
Yeah, Manu played PH Zin in the second leg, and I think I said it on the broadcast as well. I haven't seen Manu play this well, I think, for at least a year or so. Like, he was so good, especially that Ruud Gullit power shot, that volley. That just speaks of confidence. Like, if you do that in a final game like this, well, potential final game, you are playing at your top peak. But then again, I didn't expect PH Zin to come up there for that third game. I don't think anybody in the venue expected it. I don't think Levy expected it. I don't think PH Zin maybe himself didn't expect it. But then again, it was a team choice, a team decision. In the end, a coach's decision. Because I did talk to Levy about it afterwards. I was like, how on earth weren't you playing? Because I know him. And I said on the broadcast as well, there's no way that Levy will say, I'm not going to play. But then again, they said, both admitted, like, I want to play that last game. And then Nick said, okay, they had a discussion somewhere before, earlier that day, maybe earlier in the week, where if there would be a third game, we'd probably use PH Zin. They all agreed on that. And now he was like, yeah, well, given the circumstance, you probably shouldn't, but we agreed on it earlier, so there he goes. But Levy was very angry up until that corner, I can tell you.
I love that Levy also said in an interview with Dory and Nita afterwards on the EA broadcast that he basically was like shaking watching. He said, if I die at 40 from a heart failure, then that is PH Zin's fault.
Yeah. But yeah, you could tell, like you said, the celebration moment, like Levy was... I mean, I've seen him before like that, but he was like the beast unleashed. He was just yelling off. And like the hat came off, everything. He was like air punching and stuff. Yeah. But this is what we want to see as well, like you said. And it's because of that rivalry as well. You have to take into consideration Levy beat Manu and Emre as well. Like, yeah, it's a team
player thing. It's going to be quite an interesting coaching session next time round.
Nah, it's not like that, but like it is nice to have that championship title, especially if you're on that one-sided team, because the other ones is like a complete Team Khalid party. So obviously it would feel good for him to beat them himself. But like this is also nice.
The corner.
Yeah. The corner, yeah.
So you have one last kick of the game, right? And as a coach, how much work do you do on things like this? That is just in the moment. That is genuinely, I mean, it might sound cliche, but that wins titles.
Yeah, but I think he tweeted about it, or maybe he said it in an interview as well. Like he worked on this corner kicks with Nick earlier day even, I think. And yeah, that's something we worked on like a couple of weeks even before that, but especially during that week. All of the players at Team Khalid, because we also had AZ, that were two players from Team Khalid, the guys from PSV and Levy, all worked on the corner kick technique. And yeah, like there's this Team of the Year Haaland foot item, and he's really strong in the air. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you just want to get them into that near post position or even a back post, but the near post is probably the most effective one. Just swing it in and yeah, just try to avoid the goalkeeper. And that's what Pietin did.
Let's get what probably everyone listening or watching this podcast wants to hear. How do you defend against Team of the Erling Haaland in particular from a corner?
From a corner.
Do you use Erling Haaland against him? Erling Haaland against Erling Haaland? Because this man is unstoppable, and he's been unstoppable throughout every esports event that he's been used in.
True. So the most effective way of actually raising your chances is to... Okay, so when the replay actually, or like the little cutscene that goes when you had the shot deflected from the goalkeeper mm-hmm. and in towards the corner kick, you can already start pressing R3, so you move your goalkeeper.
So you'd move your goalkeeper to the front post?
Yeah, like out to the front like post. Almost immediately, once you know you can see that corner kick,
you put your hand on
you put your hand on the right stick and you start moving already. Because
you're not
what actually happens?
Triangle.
That doesn't work right now at that point. That doesn't work like before the corner kick is actually taken, but with the R3 you can move already.
Yeah, but then does that not open up the back post though?
Yeah, but like that, like I said, that near post one is more effective
to get a direct goal. But yeah. Erling could then win the header on the back post and head it down. And
okay, so let's say that happens,
yeah,
then we press L3 and R3. So we're
right,
going to go
give
in
us
that...
a minute. Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm conceding a corner. I'm pressing my R3. My goalkeeper, who's teaming the check, is front post.
Yeah, you're moving into the near post.
But then, are you selecting a centre back as well to follow Erling Haaland?
Yeah, like somebody that's closest to him. Like obviously the reaction speed and everything. You will need to work on that.
Who would you defend? I'll tell you what. What we'll do is I'll expose you to everybody because I've seen his FC 24 team and he has gold Virgil van Dijk still. Let me know what you guys think about a coach still using gold. Oh, did I say gold? I meant he's made him red. Red Virgil van Dijk still in his team. Okay. Would you use that Virgil van Dijk? Because he doesn't have aerial plus. Unless you got the Team of the Week one, because I know you got 5 million coins.
Yeah, but like I would still just use Haaland if I had him.
Okay.
But then again, you just try to go with the tallest defender. Well, I'm not even going to say the tallest defender, the strongest defender. Because the only way that you can really try to defend him is when you are able to push him. So here's something that hasn't been tested completely yet, because there's not many players that have it. I think it's Patrick Vieira, his newest item.
Yes, his newest item, yeah.
He has Bruiser Playstyle Plus. So whenever you just press L2... if you use the manual, the default settings, he will push him. And the only way that you sometimes see Haaland not winning the aerial duel is whenever he gets like pushed over.
Pushed into him.
So that's something that we're trying to figure out right now. And a lot of E-League players are actually playing Vieira at the back post, but then there's no Erling Haaland. So you don't see if it's being used to full effect yet. But that's something that could be a thing that you could try as well.
Is Erling Haaland the most effective striker we've had in terms of aerial ability on any previous title?
So yeah, I mean, Brendan and I were like trying to make an estimation of his average goals per game, but we started with two and then we said no, it's going to be three, and I think it ended up around three or four goals every game during the Eredivisie final. So yeah, he is by far the most dominant item I've ever seen.
Is there any other items? So for people who are a bit more casual and don't have the casual 7 million coins to buy him, is there anyone else who you could recommend who's a tall striker? I mean, we've got a Rasmus Højlund player of the month who's got aerial plus. I don't know if you've used him. There's a Courtois who's a striker, win a wild card.
I just want to play a beautiful game, guys. Let's not do it. But then again, if you had to get someone, then it's Sørloth.
ultimate birthday solo. He's my budget Harlem.
And this is what Frankie has said, right? You might laugh about it, but on a previous episode of Full Chemistry, she said Soloff was her budget Erling Haaland. And he got used as well.
Yeah, he's got all the aerial skills, well, you need.
Yeah, Putin subbed him in. He had Haaland on the one side and then Soloff on the other one. And I was like, come on, Paolo, man. Just good.
I wrote it in my notes. I was very excited.
Soloff is unbelievable, by the way. And he's so cheap.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. He is like
25K,
so good. 25,000 coins. If you haven't got him in your team, honestly, get him in because he is literally baby Erling Haaland.
Yeah, literally. So, yeah, I'd probably suggest to use that. But then again, play beautiful, everyone. Play beautiful.
There's nothing more beautiful than that happening. And P8 Zin also used him, so you want to copy him as well.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions on this final game. One of them being about the corner. Let's keep on this corner. Levy said in an interview afterwards he wouldn't have played it in the air. He would have played it short. Do you think that would have also taken the game to penalties? Or if Levy was in that position, he would have lost?
Levy would have lost, I think. But then again, Pearson tried to do that on the first one and he failed. So he probably was like, okay, that didn't work. So it made sense, but just unfortunate circumstances because Manu didn't move his goalkeeper. And that was his only mistake. But he probably was just caught up in the moment, so much tension, probably already thought, okay, I had him, you know, because he defended the first corner kick. And then he just didn't anticipate in time. And yeah, I'm not sure if PSG even realized that. But then again, it worked out.
And if Manu hadn't given up that penalty around 3 minutes into the third game... would PSB have lifted the trophy?
Ooh, yeah, you can never say so.
I like that from you, Frankie.
What a question is that?
Right, you know what, right? Because I see what you're saying there, but I think because it was so early on, you just don't know, do you? Like,
it was so early, though.
Because it was so early. Oh,
but
my.
This is the thing. If you look at game number two, like Manu was firing all cylinders from the start.
Sure.
PSB wasn't getting much of a look.
But that game changed based on that.
Yeah, but like the game three, indeed, like just because Pearson got that early goal, he started regaining his confidence, I think.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, before that game started, I was like, okay, Manu's got this, right? And then obviously 3 minutes in, I thought the final was over because I thought he would also give a red card there. Like the referee, he looked like he was going to pull out a red card.
Maybe it's the double jeopardy rule, eh? That you can't do that in football as well.
It was a bit harsh, I feel.
Great
like.
Great referee.
You like the call?
Keep the final alive,
wasn't
you know?
Even a penalty kick,
we
though.
Don't want to see red cards in esports, no. Kept it alive.
We want to see VAR.
But obviously, if that was a red card, the game is...
Yeah, it was done. But then again, like you said, yeah, if Manu didn't concede that early, I could see him possibly steamroll through. But then again, Pearson always finds a way. It's just as simple as that.
It's just very telling for me because part of my job is interviewing players, right, in any game. And I study what they say very carefully. And even in Manu's post-game interview, he said, last year I had the luck in penalties, this year I don't. And because of what he said online about feeling like he's not the best player anymore, when something like that happens in the rematch and you're already in shock slightly because PH Zin's walked out to face you and you thought Levy was coming out that doorway, it almost feels like something could have switched in his brain when that moment happened and when he knew PH Zin was now gonna come at him at all cylinders.
Like everyone, like I said, in the venue expected Levy to play. But then again, the fact that Manu says something like that, I do agree. Levy and I had the same approach because I feel it's quite some time ago, but like he lost a pretty important penalty kick series. And then we had the EA Sports Cup with Ola and we beat Futwiz to qualify for the eClub World Cup and to get into the semifinals of the EA Sports Cup itself, which we ended up winning in the end. But that's like sometimes you win, sometimes you lose the penalty kicks. Some people are extremely good at it. But then again, Pearson also lost one against Mark to not qualify for the semifinal or the final, sorry, of the World Cup even. So he got his redemption in this one. Manu got his redemption probably at the highest peak in the final of the World Cup. So yeah, sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And I think that's the right way to especially look back at it after the game. Because if you're going to be like, oh, I should have done this at the penalty series, like it will sting so much. Even this is probably the toughest way to lose a championship. Yeah. But then again, Manu's able to deal with it so well because he did realize, okay, I shouldn't have let it go into penalties. But when it's penalties, yeah, you win some, you lose some.
I'm going to make a bold prediction right now on this podcast because I don't normally get to make them as the host. I think that Levy is going to win world championships this year.
Whew.
I know it's not really the right place in the conversation to do it. I just want to say it really quickly that no one remembers to come to it. The reason that I'm saying this right now is because I think that Manu showed he can be the best player in the world still with his skills in Capitano Divisi. But he's got now shadow on his back of defending world champion. He's obviously had some knocks and bruises this year. Texas got a legacy he's defending. Bonanno is on the way up and I think he's going to be one to beat. But Levy is so mentally in tune with the game, doesn't have any chips on his shoulders, is playing beautiful balanced FC. He can defend, he can attack. I think that I think it's his year, but it's not his year yet.
You could be a visionary.
I just think we're working towards him being his year. I just wanted to just leave that there in the middle of a podcast that everyone will forget I said it. But when it does happen, I can come back to it and be like, guys, watch the KPNE Divisi.
Let's, real quick.
Anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, let's go back to that Panathinaikos shootout real quick. So is it the same as sort of, it's luck, right? And you just said you don't want to get hung up on sort of your thoughts and stuff, because when I have a penalty shootout in champs, which happens pretty much every week, I'm thinking I'm going to go left and then last minute I change and go right.
So this is the thing. It's a mind game, right? And like a mind game, I don't have any scientific proof of that, but I guess it's always going to be a mind game where try to outsmart your opponent, but he's trying that as well. So sometimes you lose, sometimes you win. And you can raise your probabilities from 50% to 60% potentially, but then still, yeah, there's a chance of losing. So what he didn't do, though, because he admitted that, he said something that he didn't have a clue how he could outsmart Paolo in this particular penalty kick series. Mm-hmm. And against Mark and Obrun, he did tell me, like, I remembered something from when he watched a stream or anything, and now he probably blanked out, because I can tell you Manu is a very, very smart, very intelligent person. And because he even surprised me, he said like, yeah, Mark went to the left in that penalties kick series against PSG, which he had before. And I knew I paid attention to it, but at that point, I wasn't going to say anything to him because I was like, yeah, this is too tense. You don't want to confuse him. But he literally just got a flashback before Mark took one of his penalties when he actually settled down from all the stuff that was happening. And he saved it as well. And yeah, you, like I said, you can raise your probabilities, but it's still obviously a game of a little bit of luck.
So you talk about the mind games, and one thing you can obviously do on penalties is move your goalkeeper before the ball's been kicked.
Yep.
How important do you think that is to sort of edge your keeper maybe to one side and then stay diving that way, etc.?
It's super important. But then again, also like you say, so these players will not miss their penalties, at least you don't expect them to. They will put it in the top corner or just far down that right bottom right corner, for example. So you have to move your goalkeeper in that direction already to actually be able to save it. So yeah, like you can try and maybe manipulate the opponent thinking you're going to go into that corner and then last ditch, like you said, move to the other one, but it's still a game of luck a bit.
I do think we should talk about the top eight though, because of course we're going to be talking about Ajax and PSV because they are four incredible players, but we should talk about the other eight teams because you know them very well, Renzo. Like Gio, for example, he used to play on Team Hullet.
Yeah, true. We actually did a talent show there, looking for the next e-talent, literally it was called, to be a player at Team Hullet. Mm-hmm. And Gio won that. So he was on the team. Damien, Damesheet, like he played participated in that. And a lot of, I think like six players in total in the end ended up in the Eredivisie. But Gio got a contract at Team Gullit and played there for a year or so. And he was actually part of the Vitesse team that won the Eredivisie when he was the third player. And he actually did contribute a couple games during the regular season, just the finals he didn't play.
What really sets, I guess, the top four apart from the other players, is it that discipline? Because as you say, we see people taking like power slides and maybe risking some tackles and things like that that perhaps they shouldn't, that gets them in trouble in game.
Discipline, but I think most of it all in the end is the consistency, and on many levels, on like training, every different aspect of the game, and also being able to implement them during the games when it matters. Because what you could tell from that finals that we saw, Levi against Emre, Bjergsen against Mani, we saw everything, right? Like we saw whenever somebody was doing something perfect on the offensive side, somebody was doing it perfect defensively. And to be able to consistently recognize what you should be doing, yeah, that requires a lot of consistency of your of training, but also just in general being in like completely committed to this esports. Most of the time see the same names coming through that every time. And that's not because they're that much better than everybody else, but it's just that minimal difference that they can always pull off.
When you talk about the preparation, obviously the practicing on the field, what about when they're not playing the game, their lifestyle as a whole, how much do you think that gets taken into account with sort of the work that you guys do with your players, making sure that they're looking after themselves, making sure that, you know, I know you guys have got mental coaches as well and stuff like that, but how important is that now becoming in the esports?
You just need to take care of everything that's surrounding being an athlete almost. Like if you look at Levi, for example, I think he's a very good example, at least, of how you want to have a player being both on the communicative side, as a physical presence, as a performance presence. And Emre, for example, he has a totally opposite way of how he likes to, how do you say that? Like enjoy himself outside of esports. Like he will just go outside and play football, but he doesn't like, for example, to go in a gym, like to go into the gym and work out, but he likes to play football. So how do you treat your players? You don't force them into something that they don't like, but you just try to accommodate them to the maximum potential that they feel comfortable. And that's something that we focus on mainly.
So being active is important, you say. What about their diet? Do you look at player diets yet? Are you at that point in esports yet?
You want me to be honest here?
Yeah,
no, we don't.
Good.
Because good. Nah, but yeah. This is what I'm just going to be honest. And like we don't need the same diet as the professional athlete that works that performs at the Olympic Games. Levi, for example, he eats a lot more different stuff than, for example, another player. And if that other player doesn't like fish, we're not going to go out for sushi.
Yeah, for sure.
You're just going to, and because you want to make him feel comfortable. And so you just give a player whatever he would like to eat before a massive game, because it's only such a short period of time that you actually have to perform in your best. Mm.
You know what? The boys are coming to London, though. I'm very excited. I'm a proud Londoner, so I love to recommend foods. Obviously, I'm going to have to recommend you guys some places, because all four of the finalists we saw at the Capiani Divisi are going to be coming to London in May for the E Champions League. So Emre Yilmaz, Mali Bashore, Levi David, and of course, PH Zin will be here competing. And E Champions League is really stacking up to be quite the competition. Obviously, we've already seen Texas Banana qualify, the boys from Brighton, so Jaden and Mali as well. And yeah, they were incredible in the finals of E Premier League. It's going to be so competitive.
Well, shout out to them in particular as well. I mean, Jaden, I thought the way that he handled himself for someone in that final, and I think just the overall excitement of the tournament. This is genuinely getting to the point. I mean, the real football season, we'll be close to the Champions League final there, and it'll be the business end of the season in some points. But in esports, we are at the business end of the season with the ECL. It's going to be, I can't call it a thing. I don't know what's going to happen, like, because it can go any way. It can. The quality is going to be so high, and I feel like the tension and the pressure in that tournament is going to be incredible as well.
Is the pressure going to get to Emre, given that he's defending a title?
So I was actually surprised. He's constantly, like recently actually, because before he didn't qualify for the Champions League after the Eredivisie finals. But let's be honest, they all expected to get to the final, Manu and Emre. Like they are just, yeah, they know their own level. But he consistently says, like, I'm going to defend my title. I'm going to defend my title.
Come on, Emre. I love that.
Yeah, but, like, I never expected that from him. Like, he's so humble, so chill. But whenever I talk about E-Champions League, he's going to be like, I'm going to defend my title there.
There's something special about the E-Champions League as well, right? When players enter tournament, things happen that don't usually happen. We obviously see so much emotion in it. What are you expecting from this year?
Emre to Nana.
Manu and Levi are not watching.
Yeah,
this.
Manu,
okay.
Levi and Emre to go to the semis. And like one of them will win. No. I don't know. Like usually we've seen so many different winners as well. And obviously I think when Nicolas won it, everybody wanted him to win that one as well. Like no dig to Matthias, but just because of his dynasty that he was also building. But yeah, I'm just hoping for some great FC again. And there's so many great players right now. Like, for example, I wouldn't mind if PSG has this incredible year, which attracts so many viewers as well and so many engagement, that it's a constant rivalry where who's going to beat him in a final. But then again, you have Anders as well, still on the hunt for a title. So an individual one, at least. It's just going to be crazy. And I'm looking forward to it for sure. But the Champions League, like you said, is something special because I think it's the title that comes so close to the regular football. And like I said, I think still everybody that plays EFC at this level and even the pros, they love football. So that one is just special. If you want it, you actually have that Champions League trophy.
Yeah,
you had it in your hands.
Really and exciting.
There's a football player usually that hands it out. Last time it was just perfect for us because it was Ruud.
Who's the football player you want this time?
Ooh.
I want you to look into your camera and I want you to tell them who you want there.
But they used, well, legends of the game as well, right? So
straight into that camera. Let's see what we can do.
I mean, if you ask for my favorite football player all time, it has to be Henry. So,
oh, and you know what? He'll be in London as well. So he could definitely make it happen.
I mean,
got his number, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I've not got Thierry's number, unfortunately. I wish I did.
You don't?
It'd be nice.
But you have so many favorite
name-dropping footballers.
No. I work with footballers, but not Thierry Henry. Thierry Henry is like different level.
You know a guy though.
Thierry Henry is like my childhood. I'm with you on that, by the way.
Yeah, like obviously it's one of the players that I watch play. Mm. And Messi, Ronaldo would be fantastic. But just, yeah, like Henry was something special that I watched when I was a little kid. And that's always just, or Ronaldinho.
What about Thierry Henry's new FC item? With 97 pace, is it?
He's really good.
Now we are talking EA Sports because it is unbelievable, right?
They finally did him justice. I'm going to be honest. Like you had him at a very bad spot for a couple of years, but now they did him justice.
Yeah, it's about time we bring the Vavavoom to the virtual pitch, and they definitely did with that one.
They really did. Well, so.
Now you're taking me back to the 90s, Vavavoom indeed. Let's also talk about the World Championships very quickly. You mentioned Anders. Do you think that this is his year, aside from your boys, obviously?
And Max.
Yeah, Max is coming in, the third player from Ajax. Qualified because the boys from Ajax had already qualified for the World Championships.
Yeah, and PSV making the final, so there was literally a spot left.
So Max is going to be winning the.
So Max, it would be a crazy story, and like I said, I'm all up for it. Crazy storylines just do benefit everyone. That's affiliated with this esports. But then again, it's so hard to tell because we haven't even discussed anything about Abu Maka, for example, because he's on a tier as well. And it's just going to be so so crazy. Whatever. I haven't even thought about it when you have to say, like, okay, this is my favorite.
But
because there's so many great players now.
If we had to put you on the spot and say, we want your winner for the ECL and then we want your winner for the World Championships, we want them both. Who do you think is going to win?
Okay,
yeah, because we can stop you leaving for the airport.
Yeah, so Champions League, I'm just going to go with Anders.
Oh, wow, okay.
I thought you were going to say Emre.
No, because I'm going to jinx Emre then.
Yeah. Emre won't be happy with that. Yeah, for sure.
So, Anders, but like for the World Cup, I do think it's going to be either PSG or Levy. Let's just put it on PSG. I'm just going to put it on him.
Who are you saying? Because I already predicted as well for World Championships.
I think Anders.
Because I did agree with everything she said.
No one ever normally agrees with what I say about this game.
But he is, in my opinion, and I'm a bit biased a little bit because I'm sitting behind him there probably, but he is, for me, the most complete player at this point.
You can't look past PA Zin, right?
No, like, but that's the thing.
It's impossible to look past him right now.
But getting into that final, you need to be the most complete one. But if PA Zin is going to be there, I'm just going to be honest. We already lost the final with the Dutch squad against him. You don't want to go up against PA Zin in the
final. We could reignite that whole rivalry with PA Zin and Anders as well.
Yeah, Anders. So Anders, I just want to lock this in. Levy, Anders, and then
PhD in.
Okay. I think the way that
we'll
what
come
we
back
saw,
to this. We need to put this in an envelope, a virtual envelope.
I think what we saw from Anders after the FC Pro stuff was the way he reacted to it, which I think was a level of maturity from him.
Yeah.
He was like, okay, I shouldn't have won. I made a lot of mistakes. I'll be back.
Imagine.
He's always back.
And that one.
And this man is superhuman at times, yeah. Anders. His mentality is crazy.
True. But imagine a World Cup final between Anders and Piazin going down to penalties.
Oh, it would onto penalties yeah. as well, right? Oh my gosh.
Hide your chairs.
It'd be sensational.
Use the stream. That would be a wild one. Renzo, before we let you go, we want to pick your coach brains because FG still hasn't got a 100% win rate in weekend league.
This is my time to shine now. Give us everything you know.
So first of all, just formation. What should we be using right now?
4-3-2-1.
Correct. Yep. Use that already. With you on that one. Thank you, mate.
I use 4-2-4, as I always say, I'm a psycho.
4-2-4.
Okay, sometimes I use
4-2-4.
4-2-4.
Mostly I use 4-3-2-1, but sometimes.
She said 4-2-4 then, didn't she?
I've got my Thunderstruck really tuned.
Okay.
Just right. Attacking minded, I like.
Yeah. That's why she loses on squad battles.
I have Brazilian wings. I have a Brazilian left wing. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Carlos. Vinny. Anyway, this is meant to be a quick fire. Player lock mechanic. How essential is it right now? Ooh. Top tip for using it.
Honestly, it's probably the most effective mechanic because you can consistently have your opponent second guessing. And I think what's most important is you start off by learning how it initially works. And then if you're into the next stage, you start canceling and then putting it again, like just pressing player lock whenever it's active and then to deactivate it and just get control of the player that is controlling the ball at that point, you press it once again. I think that one... Yeah, it's the most crucial to learn. But then again, it's too complicated to quick fire that one.
Not got enough time to learn that, unfortunately.
I mean, we got tutorials up for you. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, well, I'll definitely take a
Team
watch.
Team Hunter YouTube, brilliant. We will go to that after we finished on this broadcast. Also, got to ask about mastering the power shot. How do you power shot like Manu?
Okay, so the most important thing there, whenever the ball is bouncing, so or whenever you know that the player is going to take it on his chest and the ball will take a bounce, you already start pressing L1 and R1, and then you load up a power bar, 2.5 to 3 bars of power, try to time it green, and don't overcompensate your left stick towards the corner. Just put it a little bit to the side on which corner you want to go at. That's it.
I can take power shots, you know.
Yeah, but like...
I've got that in my locker.
Just get them on the bounce.
Who's your favorite player to use a power shot with?
I mean, come on, can we go much different
well,
than Root?
The answer, don't we? Yeah,
you knew it already.
Never mind.
I mean, nah, but okay. So I have you actually mentioned him earlier today, Bobby Charlton, the 92.
Bobby.
He's so good with it. I got him out of an SBC, I think, but he's been in my club for a century now.
Good.
But he's really good with the power.
Would you say? Would you say he's your club legend on FC 24?
Red Virgil.
Right, let's ask
we're just trolling now. We're just trolling. Should we actually move on to Galazzo promo?
Galazzo promo. Let's talk about that and not red space Virgil.
Yeah, let's move to 97 rated Cruyff instead.
I mean,
Johan Cruyff. Oh my God. You know what? Cruyff. In the words of Pep, we cannot afford it.
I said Cruyff. I said Cruyff. Cruyff.
Cruyff.
Cruyff.
Cruyff.
Huh?
No, I'm glad Cruyff. I wasn't the only one who mispronounced.
Well, who am I to argue with you?
Yeah, I mean,
right,
come on.
But regardless, he was an absolute legend,
yeah.
Especially in Amsterdam, actually, at Ajax, yep. Of course. And also in the making of my manager, Pep Guardiola, because he always talks about him. And of course, on the virtual pitch in the Galazzo promo, we've got an item which is incredibly special. But unfortunately, in the words of Pep Guardiola, we cannot afford it.
He's just so good. Like, his card is five-star. It's always been. And he just has this... I mean, it's just like Ronaldinho. He has a special way of dribbling. Neymar has it always. And yeah, you can't go wrong with him. But they're so expensive, all of these cards.
What about Cafu?
Solid option. But
no.
Yeah, but you know...
He's surely the option now, no?
Yeah,
that's
okay,
solid,
but like,
he's always solid.
To what extent?
He is the best right back on the game.
Yeah,
no?
But how much are you going to spend on your right back? He's going to lose to Haaland anyway.
You can use your right back. That's true. I didn't think of that. But going forward, you normally a lot of people attack from the right or the left? Because I attack from the right.
I think most of them have the right back on balance.
Right. So Cafu going forward is different.
True. But then again, Haaland is always on that left forward position.
Yeah, true.
So, like, if we're just going to, we don't know any restrictions for future tournaments, but I'm going to tell you, if I would have to pick right now on my right back spot, I'd put Virgil van Dijk Team of the Year there to just challenge.
Yeah, for sure. What about,
if we're out?
Interesting enough, Tech said that he uses Virgil's Team of the Week instead because of Aerial Plus.
Yeah, that you could arguably use that one as well, but I'm still hoping for one of the central defenders to come up with Aerial Plus that we can challenge Haaland at some point.
For sure.
We'll probably see that in future promos. Well, EA, you have something prepared.
Yeah, EA will definitely have something cooking. I'm sure there'll be another Galazzo promo. I think there's a Team 2 as well because this one marks as Team 1. So, I mean, Yaya Toure, even though we've had enough specials, I want one.
He's been out a bit there.
He's had a few, you know.
Yeah, but like, who's not been
missing?
Out there?
Who do you think's missing? Who do you want in the next Galazzo promo? I've got a rogue one.
Go ahead. Maybe inspire me.
Manchester City legend Frank Lampard. Manchester City legend Frank
Lampard.
Yeah,
he played at
Galazzo.
City.
We want Frank Lampard. I don't know why, man. I think EA have done really well this year with icons being usable. Gerrard's future star is really usable. I love the guy. Obviously, I mean, you're like, use gold Virgil, by the way.
I mean, I'm just still thinking. Like, but why Lampard?
I don't know.
What
I just
do you
want to use Lampard.
Yeah,
I
okay,
just want to
fair
use
enough.
Him. I want a power shot with him.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of better players.
Go on then, hit me with one.
I mean, honestly, Bergkamp.
Oh, but he just got one, though.
Yeah, but, like, make him really good.
Unfortunately, boys, as much as I could listen to you guys debating all day, that is all we have time for. Renzo, thank you so much for joining myself and FG today.
My pleasure.
Pleasure was definitely all ours. We learned a lot, and FG is hopefully going to win at least 12 games a weekend league this weekend.
Pushing it a little bit.
Thank you so much for you guys all for watching. Do, as always, leave us a comment below our YouTube version. Let us know who you'd like to see in an episode and what you're interested in hearing about. And we will see you next time.